Good morning. Our Hebrew Bible lesson today is from Isaiah. Isaiah 63, 7 through 9. It's a long reading, so bear with me. It can be found in your Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, on page 652. And in the large print Bible on page 848. Hear these words. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their Savior. In all their distress, it was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you will turn in your hymnal, back to page 861 for the responsive reading of Psalm 148. Continues on page 862. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise the Lord, all his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars. Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created, who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above all earth and heaven. God has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. It can be found on page 205 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible and on page 265 in the large print edition. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 2, verses 13 through 23. Again, this is one of those times when both the Pew Bible and the large print Bible are on the same page, page 2. If you find that, you can follow along to this different part of the Christmas story. Now, after they had left, they being the wise men, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." And Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, "He will be called a Nazarene." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, this is a curious and especially important Sunday. Think about where it lies in our lectionary pattern. Last time we met as a church, it was Christmas Eve, and we celebrated the birth of the Christ baby. Next Sunday, January 5th, we will celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord, when the wise men showed up to venerate the young Jesus. Today's reading is actually out of place chronologically, happening after next Sunday's reading. And today's reading may well strike you as a difficult and violent passage sandwiched between two sweet and warm and loving stories on either end. And that's true. Hard as it is to hear, it is especially important that we listen and understand the true meaning of this facet of the Christmas story. You've just heard this difficult story from Matthew's Gospel about Herod's command that all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under were to be murdered. You also heard that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. Can you imagine what that would be like to know that your only child, an infant, was in grave, even mortal danger? Can you imagine waking up in the middle of the night with this horrible realization and taking off right then and there for a country far away, and then realizing as you fled that you might not ever see your friends and family again? This is exactly what happened to Mary and Joseph not too many months after their precious baby boy Jesus was born. I can also imagine that as they traveled south toward Egypt, they probably heard stories from fellow travelers about the horrific violence and murder of innocents in and around Bethlehem, their baby's birthplace. When you think about it like that, you may well come to the realization that Mary and Joseph and Jesus, this holy family, were in fact holy refugees. Think about that. Holy refugees. Well, on this last Sunday of 2013, it's hard to listen to or watch or read the news and not hear about refugees and immigrants. Just last Sunday, the front page of the Denver Post carried such an article, and it said, Aurora is the most diverse community in the metro area, where the minority is now the majority. Nearly 21% of Aurora's 335,000 residents were born in another country, the highest percentage in the Denver metro area. That's more than one in five people. The Ethiopian community alone in the Aurora Denver area, in the eastern part of the metro area, is an estimated 30,000 strong. Part of that number includes refugees. About 1,800 refugees arrived in Colorado last year, and about 2,200 this year, with the majority landing initially in Aurora and many staying because of cheap rent and communities already in place. So said the Denver Post. The dictionary tells us that a refugee is a person who flees for refuge or safety, especially to a foreign country, as in time of political upheaval, war, etc., or a person who has fled from such danger or problem, especially political persecution, seeking a place of shelter, protection, or safety. From the U.S. Department of State website, we read this. A refugee is legally described as someone who has fled from his or her home country and cannot return because of a well-founded fear of persecution based on religion, race, nationality, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. According to that same U.S. State Department website, 69,930 refugees found safe haven this year in the United States. The top five nationalities resettled to the United States in 2013 were Iraqi, Burmese, Bhutanese, Somali, and Cuban. Upon their arrival in the United States, refugees have been resettled in 186 communities in 49 states. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees estimates that there are approximately 15.4 million refugees in the world. 15.4 million. The UNHCR also reports that less than 1% of all refugees are eventually resettled in third countries. Of these, the United States welcomes over half, more than all other resettlement countries combined. More than 3 million refugees have come to the United States in the last 35 years, according to the State Department's Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration. The United States is also the single largest donor to international relief efforts for refugees. Now, my friends, these are mind-bending numbers, almost beyond comprehension. In addition to stories of refugees, all of us have surely heard about the vital need for immigration reform in the United States. And as you may well know, there are almost 12 million people currently living in the U.S. who have either entered the country illegally or who have stayed beyond their visa limitations. Many of these undocumented immigrants are also refugees as well. A survey from 2008 explains further, 61% of the population of immigrants in the United States illegally in 2008 were from Mexico, 14% from El Salvador, Guatemala, Brazil, Honduras, and Ecuador, 8% from India, Korea, China, and the Philippines, while 17% were from all other countries. Now, obviously, this is a difficult and perplexing political situation, as well as a critical humanitarian crisis. Now, I don't know how you feel personally about this national situation, where you come out politically, but I believe that I can say two things with confidence. One, there are no easy solutions to this problem. And two, each of us could probably afford to learn more about what is actually going on. My point in bringing this to your attention today is probably fairly obvious. The numbers of refugees and immigrant people are truly mind-boggling. But these vast populations are made up of individual people. Individual people like you and me, people like Mary and Joseph and Jesus. I can almost guarantee that you know someone, or probably many people, who are themselves refugees or immigrants. Let me remind you of the questions I posed earlier. Can you imagine what it would be like to know that your only child, an infant, was in grave, even mortal danger? Can you imagine waking up in the middle of the night with this horrible realization and taking off right then and there for a foreign country far away, and then realizing as you left that you might not ever see your friends and family again? Can you imagine what you might do if you realized that you could build a better life for yourself and your family if you could only make it to the United States, a land of nearly limitless possibilities, at least compared to your home country? I believe that Christian people must first see refugees and immigrants not as numbers, but rather as people. People just like you and me, like Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And we must learn to love and care for these brothers and sisters. Why? Because Jesus does. Listen again to this passage from the letter to the Hebrews that Daniel read. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that Jesus did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Indeed, as a little baby, Jesus was himself a refugee. He had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect. Jesus knows what the refugee and the immigrant person is going through. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. On this last Sunday of the year, let us remember the story of the Holy Family, these holy refugees, and respond in the same support and in the same vulnerability to our fellow men and women. My sisters and brothers, is this not reason enough for us to reach out a hand to help those who need God's help? Think about it. Pray about it. And commit yourselves to doing something about it in 2014. As Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Amen.